Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Inger, today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So we were just talking, and I feel like we've done a million and one episodes on how to navigate the holidays, how to keep movement, how to keep yourself from overeating. So we decided that we are just going to take a little bit of a different approach, something that is applicable to all seasons of life, and especially with the prep lifer, you want to focus on habits. So our episode today is going to be focused on habits and how to have them best align with your belief system. So when we talk about habits, we want to first of all take an inventory. We want to make sure that whatever it is that we want to be, whatever our belief is, that we're aligning those habits or those actions with our beliefs. So, for example, if someone says, you know, I'm a runner, but they never run, there's a problem there. There's a disconnect. As humans, we can feel that, you know, that friction, that misalignment of our goals and our beliefs with our actions, and that can feel very uncomfortable. So, you know, as most prep lifers probably can say, that I'm a bodybuilder, I am a bikini athlete. We want to make sure that, you know, our actions and our habits and our daily living is aligning with that. So whether it be that, you know, you say you're a bodybuilder, but you're not lifting weights regularly, then there's going to be, you know, some conflict internally for you. And you're not going to feel like you're being true to yourself. Chris, do you have anything to add on that?
I don't think so. I think you pretty much summed it up really well.
Okay. Well, for me, when I took my inventory, I was thinking about everything. And when I am in an improvement season, I have trouble with adherence to my nutrition. And I really dove deep into when are the times that I struggle the most. And it's never during the week. It's usually during the weekend. And, you know, part of me and who I am is I'm a friend and I'm a wife and a mother. And so family and friends, when I'm hanging out with them on the weekends, you know, I have trouble keeping my focus with my nutrition and the activities. And that's kind of like the assessment that I did when I took inventory, like, where am I falling short in my nutrition? And when am I not as focused on sticking to my macros? And that's kind of what I realized was going on. So when you took this inventory, what were some things that you stumbled upon that you felt like, you know, me as an IFBB professional, like where can I take inventory that would line up better if I worked on it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I like that you encourage this assessment. I feel like every time I do a weekly check-in with you, it allows me the time to actually sit down and think about my week and kind of do, like you said, like an inventory. The two biggest things that I find that I struggle the most with or have recently is my step goal, probably because I, you know, it's getting colder out, so it's not as exciting to run outside. And by run, I mean like walk. But to get outside, there's no running, let's be real. And then also my water intake, also because it gets cold, I don't want to drink a lot of water because I feel like it, you know, cools off my entire body. And maybe I'm in like 10 layers of clothes and it's more annoying to go to the bathroom. But yeah, those were my two biggest things that I felt were falling short. And I know when you're a professional, you like everything matters and everything counts. And you know what, not even when you're just a professional, when you're a bodybuilder, all those little things count because it's about the details that get you to that end goal. So yeah, that's kind of what I assessed that needed some improvement.
Yeah. That's an audience. I promise I did not provoke her to say water. We did not plan that. It just always happens that she says water.
It's in the cards for me.
Okay, so that covers the I, take the inventory, and then next is the P, so plan. Create a plan of action so that your belief system lines up with your actions and habits that you're creating. So for me, I realized that, you know, when I would go out to eat, there would tend to be a little bit of a conflict of, you know, my belief system and how it lined up with, you know, what I was doing. So some things that I planned ahead of time are alternate activities. So this was one of the habits that I am trying to implement so that my outings with loved ones, like either friends or family, are more active based rather than food focused. So for example, this weekend I went to an adult roller skating party at like a hotel like slash bar, and I got a lot of movement, a lot of steps. It was, you know, roller skating, which was super fun. It brought out my inner kid. And then it got me thirsty, so I was drinking a lot of club soda with lime, and that was really good for me, rather than just sitting there. When, you know, when you're at a restaurant, especially like if the restaurant serves like bread or something like that, I tend to eventually like be bored and even not hungry, and I'm just sitting at the table, so I'll tend to deviate. So we also wanted to mention that, you know, there's layers of friction, whether it be a positive action or a negative action, that you always want to put layers or barriers if it's a negative behavior. So for example, with the bread, something that I always make sure that I ask like the waitress not to bring it to the table, so that I am not tempted. You know, if something comes with a side of fries, I proactively say like, can you sub that with a side salad with no dressing, something like that. So it's not just sitting there and I'm having to like tempt my willpower to say no to that. It just, the more I look at it, every time I look at it, it's wearing out my willpower, right? And then for example, with my husband, we went to like a comedy show. We went to a coffee house that had a live band. And, you know, I was able to sip my coffee, which was a decaf, zero calories, and enjoy company with my husband, like talking, but there wasn't any like food at the table or anything like that. And then the comedy show, drinking club soda again, but being entertained and laughing and things like that. So it wasn't, you know, even though it was a sedentary activity, it was not something that was centered around food, which really helped me put, you know, a layer there so that, and I can strategically plan to stay in line with who I am at my core as a bodybuilder. And then if I am going to be like doing a refeed or a meal out, I try to look at the menu ahead of time and strategically pick a place. So for example, a couple weekends ago, we went to, it's kind of like an adulting food court per se. It's like downtown Kansas City, but it's two levels, and like it has a bar on both levels, and then it has like five restaurants, you know, three or four downstairs and then three or four upstairs. And so I looked at all of them ahead of time, and I picked out the one place that specialized in salads, and then I saw that they had like a grilled chicken, and then I brought like extra protein just in case, because you know how restaurants, they're very skimpy on protein usually. And so I got to build my own, but, you know, strategically thinking about these things like ahead of time. And then my friends weren't restricted to options that were not appealing to them. They could pick a different like food truck slash, you know, in this courtyard thing, they could pick a food that had other items that maybe I wouldn't want, but it was nice to be able to have like different options. And then we all sat down at a table. So just kind of planning out those things so that, again, you're more strategic and more intentional about aligning your action steps with your goals.
That makes total sense. I love that you planned all these different social events, because I think people really get stuck and hung up on, you know, like restaurants, but planning like fun activities, I think is really neat. I feel like you have so many fun things in Kansas too.
There are, it's like a gem in the rough. I don't know. I feel like it's like a hidden secret. There's a lot of really trendy type of things to do that are kind of cool. So I like going downtown and exploring new places.
I love that. Okay, yeah, so a couple things that I did to plan with my goals of trying to increase my step count, increase my water intake. Well, I'll just start with the step goal. So for me, I knew that I had to start trying to achieve these goals earlier in the day because one, trying to drink a bunch of water before I go to bed, or two, trying to like pace around my house to get steps in before bed is like not enjoyable. So trying to kind of like knock off these bigger goals, they feel bigger to me. Starting off my day was more conducive to me being able to complete them. So like for example, in the morning I will get up and get dressed, and then I will go out and go for it's like a 10-minute walk. We just moved to a really nice place that's right off of the sound, so I can go walk down to the pier, have like some quiet time to myself in the morning, and then walk back. And it already gives me like a head start on my step count, and I can come back and have breakfast. So, and then also like designating times within the day where I'm going to get up from my desk or stop working and go for a walk to break up the monotony also gives me like time to mentally refresh, but also to hit that goal pretty easily. So that has worked, kind of just planning out the times that I'm going to be focused on that goal. And then same thing for trying to get enough liquids in is I'll just fill up my 60-ounce water bottle early in the morning, and my job is to start drinking. So I will make sure that that bottle is close to done by noon, and then I know that half of my gallon is already completed, and I just have to worry about filling it up a second time or measuring out like different bottles that I'm using to make sure that I hit that goal. And I find that once I start those things early, I have it's like super easy to get it done by the end of the day.
That's great. And so T is the next, is the third one, which stands for track the results. So we're very data-driven when it comes to this kind of stuff. So for me, I mean, the way that I track is just tracking my macros and MyFitnessPal. And whether it's pre-planning for a meal out and fitting that in, the biggest key for me is to plan a day ahead so that I'm looking at the menu. Before I even start the day, so that all of my meals leading up to going out are, matching within, I try to hit within 3 to 5 grams plus or minus protein and carbs. And then with fats, I try to hit, plus or minus 3 grams of fats. If I can, I try to zero out. So that's my way of tracking my success. How about you, Chris?
So for me, looking at your step counter on your watch, that's the biggest thing that I use for tracking my step count. I also noticed that sometimes I would get like super obsessive about like checking my steps, even if I've been like sitting for like 3 hours. So I think it's helped me to not waste time just constantly checking that tracker by like we talked about, like organizing that time of when I'm going to go out. And I know, like, at the pace that I walk, I get like 1,000 steps in 10 minutes. So I have to designate those times. So, yeah, using my Apple Watch to track my steps has been great. And then I like that they have the tracker throughout the whole week so you can close all the rings. And then for water intake, like I said, so I actually fluctuate. Sometimes I need to feel like I'm drinking a lot of 20-ounce bottles because it's a smaller goal, and so I feel like I can achieve that. Like I can drink 20 ounces easy. And then other times it's too much effort for me to try and track all of those 20-ounce bottles. So having something a little bit bigger allows me to keep track of everything with counting less containers, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last one is review for next steps. So I think with this, anytime you're creating a goal and just tracking the results, you always want to kind of go back, reflect, and evaluate. So whether it be because you have mastered that habit and you've implemented it into your daily practice, and you've kind of overcome that, then like, how can you move on to the next thing on your inventory? That's the way I see it. What are you seeing there with the review part?
Yeah, I think it's always good to do an assessment, and I think it's good to do it on a regular basis, because I feel like sometimes we get complacent with thinking that we're hitting all of the marks when actually we're letting a couple things slip through. So yeah, I think for this to really designate, you know, one or two habits that you want to solidify in your routine, and then, you know, combing back like a month later and looking and seeing, have I really established this as a habit, or am I still struggling, and what are the things that I need to do to make it more easier to accomplish within my daily routine? So yeah, and then I think like what you said, Amy, if you've accomplished that, then move on to the next thing, like continue to build upon it, because your day is full of habits, whether they're good or bad, and being able to have control of the things that you want to incorporate to get you towards your goal is totally it's up to you.
Yeah, and so that kind of leads us to the next half of this podcast, where we're going to talk about Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy. And this is basically a guide to stop procrastinating and get after your goals. So the first thing that he recommends is just to, it's called set the table. And that basically means you're going to need to write down your goals. And as you dive further into the book, I'm kind of skipping ahead a little bit, but I'm kind of going to number 8. So we can kind of see where that comes to fruition. So apply the law of 3. So what are the 3 most important goals in each area of, so this is a way to kind of like not be so arbitrary about your planning aspect, where you can make 3 of your most important goals of your career, 3 of your most important of your family, your financial, your health, and then like personal growth or self-development, things like that. So when you list everything out, be sure to include, you know, all facets of your life. So I know we're prep lifers and we tend to talk about like fitness and health goals, but there are other aspects too. And when we kind of list out those beliefs as well, as you can see with mine, you know, a strong belief for me is being able to spend quality time with my family and my friends. So I also need those beliefs to be in line with my health goals. So that's why I had to strategize. So those two crossed over, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
Awesome. Okay. So why don't you, do you want to talk about, I mean, we talked about the planning, planning each day in advance, making your list of goals and priorities. And one thing that I, as we were kind of going through the information on this podcast, something that I found interesting is just kind of like taking an assessment of what habits do you actually do on a daily basis and kind of writing those down. So like when you wake up, like what are some habits that you have in place on a regular basis? And then just kind of taking an inventory on whether or not like it's a negative habit, if it's a positive habit, based on like how it aligns with your goals and priorities. So do you want to take the next one there as well?
Which one?
Number 3 on the Eat That Frog.
Oh, sure. Okay. So apply the 80-20 rule to everything. Figure out the 10 to 20% of your actions that will result in the 80 to 90% of your results. So you want to work more in the areas that will actually create the bigger difference.
Yeah. And something that it stood out to me, and you didn't mention this, but we talked about it before over the phone, just as our like coach client call. You had mentioned that you were feeling extra hungry and stressed, and how just working on your step goal actually killed like 3 birds with 1 stone, because it relieved your stress connecting with nature and being outside and having quiet. It allowed you to unplug and then and step away in nature, and then it also aligned with just kind of like distracting you from your hunger.
Yes, so, absolutely.
Yeah, those were things that I thought of. So basically, you know, you were working on that that one goal that's kind of like the push goal, the most important goal, and then it kind of bled over into other facets to help you out.
Yeah, it was really good. It helped me really refocus.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
And then number four is just consider the consequences. So which action will make the most difference on the outcome of today's goals? So you really need to find out, and the way that he describes it, eat that frog, it sounds kind of silly, but what's that one thing that you're putting off, but that can make the biggest impact on your day? And you need to put that at the forefront, especially if it's something that you don't want to do, but you know you have to do, getting it done. So like for you with your steps, you're putting it at the forefront of your day. You're eating that frog by waking up, putting your clothes on, and going out for a walk. You're eating that frog on your steps, whether or not you realize it or not. But that's basically what I see with that, is consider the consequences.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so encouraged.
So way to eat that frog.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. So that kind of is number five as well. Apply creative procrastination. Select one activity to eliminate immediately. So this is like the opposite. So you are doing like a proactive, positive activity.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for me, I was eliminating like the dinner part. So I was like replacing that with a different alternative. So I was making, or if I don't ask for bread at the table, like I'm just creating less friction to fall back into a bad habit, for example, that on makes, that one.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like the, well, you're talking about the friction of making it easier to complete, like removing friction if you're trying to get something done, and then creating more friction if you are trying to keep yourself from falling into a bad habit.
Yeah. And I know I always use this example, and it's probably like beating a dead horse, but the peanut butter in my house, like I don't have the jar available. I have little 1 tablespoon frozen individualized containers. It just makes another layer of it being more difficult. It's so easy for me to just empty a whole jar if I know where it's at and it's not portioned out and it's, again, not frozen, because it's like eating ice cream out of a pint for me.
Yeah.
So that's another way of just like an example of applying creative procrastination against those activities you don't want to be doing.
Excellent.
All right. Do you want to do number six?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So you want to use the ABCDE method, or basically ranking your tasks in order of importance. So I actually really like this because for me, sometimes trying to organize my list of things to do gets overwhelming. And I feel like you talked about, like taking that like most difficult task and getting it out of the way. Sometimes I get overwhelmed because I have a lot of things to do, but I feel like I can't do them all in 24 hours. So this is just something that I incorporate, is I have like a master list of like everything that I want to get done. And then I pick out the things that need to be addressed, either because they're time sensitive and they need to be done that day, or they're of the most importance. So just making sure that you're prioritizing or ranking the things that need your attention immediately.
Yeah. And then the next one, it's basically number seven, focus on key result areas. So analyze your performance and your skills and ask for feedback from a boss or mentor. When I think of this, I think of a check-in that I submit. I'm being accountable to my coach and he's giving me feedback based on how I did. That's a direct reflection of how well I stuck to my macros, right?
Yes.
So I think that's very relevant to a prep lifer. Do you want to take the next one?
Yes. Okay. So, well, you talked about the law of three.
Oh, yes. That's right.
So, okay, so we'll go. So prepare thoroughly before you begin, which we also touched on, making sure that you have, you know, your plan in place so you know how to execute your day. And then also your environment, I think, plays a big role. So if you are feeling like chaotic, maybe taking a look at where you are working or where you're trying to focus, and trying to make a conducive environment to a positive workspace could be something really helpful.
Yeah. So they always say that, you know, kind of clutter and things like that can be anxiety producing. So whether it's not, it's that you want to make improvements like in your work day, maybe, you know, organizing your desk, or if you want to try to stay out of the kitchen, you know, maybe focusing your time on keeping it clean rather than, you know, like filtering through pantries or hitting the refrigerator, things like that. That's kind of what I see in that one. And
that's
then
great.
Take it one step at a time is number 10. So just chunking your goals into small action steps and just starting that first step immediately.
And then the next one is upgrade your key skills. So find out how you can upgrade your skills and never stop and never, and never stop learning. Ooh, sorry. So just always making sure that you are advancing. I think that sometimes makes people feel like they are accomplishing something and keeps them motivated to keep going.
Yeah, whether or not it's a podcast or an audiobook or something like a conference, just bettering yourself and strengthening your skill sets in those areas, I think, are good. If you're, you know, your one habit that you're trying to work on is working out, then maybe it means like seeing a personal trainer or taking a group class so that it can help you get motivated to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is that's going to propel you forward, work on those skills that are going to be, you know, supporting an environment that you are going to be able to thrive in that. And a lot of this too can just be like surrounding yourself in a community of like-minded individuals as well. That can oftentimes really find out how you can learn from other people and become like a better athlete, a better coach, and integrating yourself around people that are, that have similar goals and ideals.
That's a great point. I like that.
All right. And then 13, we're skipping 12 because we kind of talked about that, leveraging your talents. Identify your key constraints. So what is holding you back currently? And I think that once you have gone through the inventory and the planning process, you know, what are some key things that you're finding you're falling short? And I think that that's something that, I'll just give an example of, let's say somebody's having a hard time meeting their protein goal. So maybe it's for lack of protein options in the house. So maybe they need to block out time to spend either doing like an Instacart where they get their groceries delivered. Maybe they invest in like a meal prep company like Trifecta where they have proteins delivered. Whatever it is that whatever that barrier is, and just kind of like identifying that, what's holding you back from hitting that goal. So are you not hitting your protein goals because you don't have it in your house? Are you eating extra, you know, I don't know, goldfish or something because you bought like a huge box for your kids and, you know, it's a temptation for you? I don't know. But there's, when we talk about that friction, those are some things that you can kind of take an assessment on. Anything to add with that?
No, I think you did a good job.
Okay.
Okay, so the next one is apply pressure on yourself, give yourself deadlines and time constraints. So this is actually something that has been good for me in having two different calendars. So, or having one a weekly calendar so that I write down, you know, this week I need to, you know, renew my car registration. So what day and what time do I have available in the week to kind of make sure that that gets completed? So making sure that you're just planning it out and giving yourself, you know, some deadlines they're already there, like a car registration or, you know, for a fitness example, you're wanting to get your, let's say your water intake done by, you know, 7 p.m. so that you're not drinking a lot late at night and having to get up in the middle of your sleep to use the restroom. Just giving yourself some designated times to complete these tasks, I think, can be helpful.
Yeah. And I mean, we always talk about SMART goals, having a time sensitive goal. It's super important. I think with prep, we can typically apply that to like, how many weeks out are you and when's your next competition? But in the improvement season, I think it's also good to have different kind of checkpoints where you can also have time-sensitive goals, whether it's like a mini cut that you're doing or maybe a performance goal, something along those lines to kind of keep, you know, a time frame in which you want to try to shoot for those habits to be accomplished.
Yes.
Okay, So we are on, what's our next one? Are we?
16.
Yes, motivate yourself into action. So visualize and take responsibility. This one can be accomplished by a vision board. I have clients that they have these monthly calendars where they have tasks that they need to do daily and they put stickers in the spots. I think those are ways to kind of put it in front of you. Those are some good visuals. And if you have like a specific goal in mind that you want to do, like a particular show, like maybe you put the show flyer like by the refrigerator or on your screen saver of your phone, on the background, you put a picture of like, maybe like your last physique that you want to be. Something along those lines. I mean, I have a countdown calendar just for a little mini goal that I have in relation to my macros and like staying on track here for the holidays. So I know I have a countdown for that, and it has like an actual time sensitive goal that I can refer to visually.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so the next one is stop technological time drain. So take breaks from technology to unplug. And then also look at where your communication is coming from. If it's coming from multiple sources, so you're getting a lot of notifications, you're getting emails, text messages, just try and centralize those as much as possible so that you're not being pulled in a million different directions. And we all know, like, our phones can be great. They can provide a lot of important information. They can help us learn, connect with people, do our work. But I think there is also the aspect of them just being a distraction. So making sure that you're not allowing that to seep into your work time or the time you've designated to complete your goals.
Yeah, for me, this has been the portal, our client portal.
Yes.
So in the past, people would try to DM me on Instagram. They try to text message me, like private message me on Facebook, send me an email, all these different things. And every once in a while, I have somebody like try to communicate with me during like one of those other outlets other than the portal. And I just try to always explain to clients, like, I want to give you the best service I can possible. And if we put all communication in one spot, like your check-in, your nutrition, your workouts, like your messages, all of the data, I can better serve you if we're communicating all in one spot, because then I remember, like, what question did she ask me? What did she look like last week? All of the pictures are in one spot. I'm not digging through emails. I'm not like trying to look through my text feeds. With questions and making sure I get back to people. I have such a systemized approach when it comes to like my time on the portal and responding to clients, and I really pride myself on that. And I feel like that's been a game changer for me with kind of putting all the communication in one spot.
Yes, absolutely. That has been a big game changer too. And sometimes the questions or the answers that they need is relying on information that's stored in their on their profile. So I agree. I think like providing a good service is important. I know it's very valuable to you as and to us as coaches. So giving us the platform where we can accomplish that, I think is really key.
Yeah, and then 18 is slice and dice the tasks. So focus on just accomplishing one thing at a time and really avoid multitasking. So this kind of bleeds over into 19. And, I'm a big fan of Cal Newport and deep work and creating large chunks of time devoted to special activities. So every day of my workday is allotted for different activities. And if I'm spending all of my time on check-ins on Monday, then I get very deep into work and I become highly productive because I'm not being distracted. I put my phone on silent. I don't respond to text messages. I don't get on social media, but I chunk it out like 3 hours of just like responding with feedback, Loom videos, whatever it is, adjusting plans based on their check-in. That allows me to become super efficient. Just like today is, our number one task here is like working on this podcast and things.
Yes.
I just feel like you produce a lot more quality work rather than just kind of sprinkling your attention in different places. It allows you to do one thing really well and then to take planned breaks. Like walks and eating and, you know, taking chunks out of those 3 hour increments where you can kind of like come back and refocus. So
yes, absolutely. I think being strategic with your time is definitely helpful for a productive work time.
Yes, especially if you are your own boss.
Yes. Yeah, you got to be really on top of that. Yep.
All right. Why don't you take 20 and we'll kind of end with 21 then.
Sure. Okay. So develop a sense of urgency. Select one area in which you tend to procrastinate and form a habit in that forces you to take immediate action. So that's kind of like what we talked about a little bit earlier. So what's one thing that you kind of like are always putting off? I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll wait till the weather's better, or I'll wait till blah, 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 blah. Like whatever excuse it is, what is that one thing that's kind of like your anchor that's kind of like holding you back, and attack it head on? I think if it's addressed immediately and taken care of, then you've already tackled the worst part of it, or the most intimidating. So making sure you're looking at what things are causing your procrastination and actually taking action steps.
Yeah. And I like the kind of 5 second rule. I think there was a book written on that where you just are like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's all you give yourself. So whether it be like when the alarm goes off and you hit snooze, or mm-hmm. you go straight down and like get your cup of coffee, or whatever it is that your first action step is, like only give yourself that 5 seconds and get up immediately and just do it and put yourself into motion. I think one of the people were quoted as, what's the heaviest weight in the gym? And it's just the door. Mm-hmm. You know, pushing it open is getting there is the hardest part. So again, if that's one of your struggles, you know, set your clothes out the night before, set your alarm in enough time that you're going to be ready. If it's, you know, food prep a lot a day to, you know, get organized with that, plan out your meals ahead of time. So when you get busy, you know, there are these friction things that are holding you back. And that kind of wraps that whole book up. I know we went over time. Did you have anything before we sign off that you wanted to mention?
No, this is great. I'm feeling really motivated to get all of these things established, and I hope it motivated our listeners too.
Yeah, so as you get busy with the holidays, as we know that they can be, you know, enjoy your time with loved ones. Thanksgiving here coming up, and we've got Black Friday shopping, and as people are, you know, doing their Christmas shopping and things like that, don't forget to take the time to go through these action items. You know, take the inventory, plan, and make sure that you're tracking these results and then reviewing them constantly. So everybody, just eat that frog here for the holidays, and yes. And make sure that, you know, everything goes smoothly so that you're being true to yourself and your belief system with your
yes.
actionable daily habits. All right. Well, that concludes this episode. If you would like to leave a rating or review, we would so appreciate it, whether that be on Apple Podcasts or on Podbean. We love listening to how this episode maybe affected your life and maybe how it helped you, hopefully. And if you'd like to tag us on your story and tell us what you thought, we love that as well. Just warms our hearts. We are found on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast and at Glam Girl Bikini. And if you would like to apply for your unicorn prep, you can go to www.glamgirlbikini.com and hit the Get Started button to apply for the team. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.